This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, I'm in the tub, eating breakfast.
Yeah.
I get that idea, like one of the drop everything ideas.
Yeah.
Reach for my Moleskine. It goes straight in the tub.
Oh, no.
And so I have I have people transcribe me. And I have backups, but it's so scary.
Oh gosh.
Hey.
Hi. What up? What up?
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements. We're here to give you the scoop on the entertainment business. This is our fourth episode. It's been fun. It's been rewarding so far. Thank you all for listening.
A lot of early success already. People are starting to have some really amazing success stories from listening to this show.
Yes. We always appreciate people have gone on iTunes, and when they write their reviews, they sort of talk about what the show has done for them. And that is why we do this. That is the only reason we are doing this. It is not about the money. It is not about fame. It's about helping you guys out to sort of get to the place where we're at.
We've been given so much.
Yes.
And we want to give a little bit of it back.
Mm-hmm.
And not too much.
We want to speak on something. We're a little early on this news, maybe, but we might as well get it out here.
It may not have broken to the general public, but...
there's a new Batman.
Yeah. In quotes.
Yeah. And this is one of our favorite heroes.
What an amazing character. Yeah. And story.
He's a very impressive man.
Really,
like, all the stuff that he's accomplished.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
And I'm a mega fan of all the incarnations. I mean, I don't want to get too deep in here, but Frank Miller, you guys might not know that name, but my true comic book heads,
yeah,
do know. He did some neat stuff with the Batman, and I just worship him.
And so we were really excited to find out who the next Dark Soldier was going to be, and we had a lot of ideas for it. We took meetings with people, you know, they asked us, but I guess they weren't really paying attention because they went...
Didn't quite listen.
They went with Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, he's going to don the cowl, take off his director's cap, which actually fit him pretty nicely, and now he's going to don the cowl.
Only one word comes to mind when I think of this decision, and that word is fail.
And I've got another word for it, epic fail.
Mm-hmm. What they say that this is a town of epic fails and epic wins.
There's wins, mm-hmm, and there's fails, and I know which category this casting goes in, and the fail whale from Twitter is spraying his, mm-hmm, water spout all over,
mm-hmm,
Ben Affleck and the studio's face.
Our whole thing is that Batman is supposed to be one of the tough guys.
He's tough.
He beats guys up. He's
punching and kicking.
He's crashing his car.
Yes.
And he doesn't care what he does.
He's sort of the Hayes and Sean, mm-hmm, of the crime fighting world, because we don't give an F.
Mm-hmm.
And we just do what's right. And a lot of times we're the acting and screenwriting heroes that this city needs,
mm-hmm,
and maybe not even the one it deserves. And we do that.
Like, there are just so many other options for who could have done this. Some of the really tough guys out there.
Maybe someone actually tough.
Who should have been the Batman.
Thank you. Yeah.
For example, how about one of these Metallica guys?
Yeah, couldn't it have been one of these Metallica guys is being the Batman?
There's no tougher guys.
Nothing's tougher than
rocking
so hard
on the drums and the guitar and singing.
And the bass guitar. And talk about singing. So it could have been one of the Metallica guys. It could have been, and I hate to say this, but what about Kim Jong-un?
Yes, what about Kim Jong-un?
Who's scarier and tougher?
Who puts the fear of darkness into the whole United States?
Yeah, and who's rich and can afford all those gadgets?
Yes, and has many ladies who are interested in him in society.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or what about a tough guy like Bo Jackson?
I was thinking Charles Oakley.
Sure.
But Bo Jackson is so strong, I could really see him being the Batman.
Guys. Yes, him breaking bad guys over his knee like bats. And is that another connection to be forged between Bo Jackson and the traditional Batman?
Yeah.
Do you work some baseball bats?
Batman leaves the baseball diamond. Mm-hmm. He's finishes swinging that bat. Then he becomes another bat.
Mm-hmm. Moving between the worlds of bats. Is that an interesting theme?
It is.
Or how about that Elizabeth Smart?
Not much tougher than that.
Imagine if she could survive being kidnapped for 6 months. I think she could handle the joke, man.
I agree.
I don't think she'd have much trouble with the joke, man. Name somebody tougher than Elizabeth Smart.
I defy you. And she could have really pulled that off.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck.
Or if you're even going to use a director, why not a truly spooky, scary director like Tim Burton?
That I'd watch.
I know he directed one of the original movies.
I don't think he did. But he is spooky and scary and could mm-hmm. really capture some of that living in a cave element that we mm-hmm. love about the Batman.
Mm-hmm. Or how about one of those Mythbusters?
Yes, finally. And this was my biggest pitch, and I pushed this one hard. They are not scared of any myths, mm-hmm. and I've seen them bust open just about anything you could imagine. Things that I don't even think really are myths they go after yep. sometimes, because they're so brave.
Batman's all about making you question the establishment and challenging your beliefs.
They are the original vigilantes. Mm-hmm. They operate completely outside the law. And
everyone's trying to stop them.
Yeah, that's right.
People have a lot invested in these original myths.
Yeah, well, they sell...
There's a lot of money.
They sell newspapers.
So, the verdict is in. Fail. It's Halloween week, which Sean and I, it's not our favorite week. Let's put it that
new,
way.
Not the best holiday we ever came up with.
Halloween for us is way, way too commercialized.
Yeah. And I think people could probably guess, oh, Hayes and Sean, they're not going to like Halloween. Mm-hmm. And you know what we're going to say, that it was invented by Hallmark.
Yeah.
To sell more candy corn pumpkins.
Yes. It used to be all about playing tricks and bobbing for apples. And now it's all about who's got the best candy. You know? Oh, mommy, get me the hottest new candy.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, give me more free candy, which what is this teaching our kids?
Yes.
And then it's all about what's hot, what's popular. I want the Powder Puff Girls candy Airheads, or I want the one with the latest, the SpongeBob mm-hmm. Hershey's kissing candies, mm-hmm. and all of these, which are just made to sell more products and more of these shows.
I went to see my daughter this past week from a previous relationship, and I show up, and I see that she's got bags and bags of these Demi Lovato Whoppers. You know, these new Whoppers that all these kids are eating. This is the candy to have this Halloween.
You don't have to tell me.
And I take Brooke aside, and I'm like, Brooke Shields, you know, remember what this is really, you know, what this holiday is really about. It's about mm-hmm. playing tricks. It's about bobbing for apples. And what does this teaching our kids?
Yeah, and I had to tell Steffi Graf the same thing about our kid, because when I was over there, she had given my two daughters, twin daughters, beautiful girls, both just wonderful and smart as whips. But she was letting them munch on this nerd's rope and Taylor Lautner's shirtless torso is on the wrapper of the nerd's rope. And what does that mean? It's fellatio. Taylor Lautner's nerd's rope sticking out of the bottom of his torso? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that that's sexual, Steffi.
We've got a really exciting guest today. Adam Pally, you know him from MIMBY Project.
MIMBY Project, the Happy Enders crew.
The Happy Enders.
Saving Woodstock.
Saving Woodstock. Very exciting guest, and he's got a lot of stuff to say. He's going to be around a little later on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So at this point, I'm furious. And I go, make up your fucking mind, asshole. Is the apartment in Tribeca, or is it in Soho?
Mm-hmm. What I always say is, like, it can't be both. Stop saying it's both.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Anyway, I beat him up.
Hey, Cody, let the song, you know there's more song left, okay?
Yeah, and you don't even need to, the song will stop when the song's over, so you don't need to guess as hard where the song ends.
You don't need to just bail on the song. Like, don't be nervous that it's not going to end. It will end.
Yeah. The one thing you can't do is just completely drop the sound of the song out and force it to end and have it not feel really bad.
I would say letting the song play to completion, as far as I'm concerned, is literally your only job.
Mm.
And so if you could just do your only job, and when we play the song, just do nothing.
That's a nice way to put it. Do nothing the rest of the time, and then do your one single job you do have during the time, which is about 25 seconds, during that 25 seconds that you do have to do that. We would appreciate it.
And thank you. We sincerely do appreciate it. So.
We love you doing that and letting the song finish. And you've been great at it up until today.
Yeah, but I kind of liked it the way that I did it.
Oh. Well, that's interesting because it definitely matters what you like.
Yeah, I was just thinking this morning, I wonder how Cody would like the show to go. He's our target audience, fucking engineer.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just thought it was kind of cool how it just cuts out a little bit.
Well, next time you have a thought of what is kind of cool, do the opposite.
Cody, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a podcast, right?
Well, no, but I do a lot of these.
But you have your own podcast that you're the host of, and you're listed on the Earwolf site as the host.
Well, not really, but I do a lot of the other.
Oh, you don't?
I wonder why.
Why wouldn't someone give you a podcast? It's important what you like.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're sitting here telling me that the most important thing about a podcast is what you think is cool and what you like.
Seems like you should have your own podcast, unless it's not important.
Huh. I hate to even think about that. That would mean you really screwed up.
So you want me to play it out next time?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll talk about it. I actually did think that way of doing it was sort of good.
It sounded interesting. It was edgy.
Yeah. So we'll go.
We'll discuss it and we'll see what makes sense.
Internally, and we'll tell you what the best thing to do is.
Before we do it.
This is we want to do a segment. This is one of our favorite segments.
Yeah. And it's
really like
kind of our it's some of our fans' favorite segments, but they keep screwing it up.
Yeah. This is a good time to sort of clarify something. This is a segment we like to do called The Right Stuff. It's about writing, about the craft of writing, just sort of the nitty-gritty, like basic tips on how to create a good script. When we've seen our fans write this segment title out on the internet, on the message boards and stuff, they almost always spell it W-R-I-T-E.
Yes.
But
our segment on writing, called The Right Stuff, is spelled R-I-G-H-T. Because what you need to succeed is you need to have the right stuff.
You need to have the right stuff when you're writing a good script.
It doesn't make sense to spell it the other way. That doesn't mean
any
anything.
Sense. We would have called it The Writing Stuff
if that's what we wanted to
say. We're talking about the writing stuff, but specifically we're talking about the right stuff to do when you're writing
stuff. So something that we sort of thought was intuitive, but I guess people need to be told sometimes, which is fine.
And that's why we do this, is we're here to educate.
Yeah. When you and I sit down, you know, there's that scary blank page, you know, that you have to deal with, and you say, what am I going to write a script about today, basically? And I think the thing that we always draw from, which is, this is a tip that's gotten out there, is write what you know.
Yeah. You've heard it said before, and you see it. Every show, every movie that's worth anything has happened to the person who wrote it.
Yes. You go into general meetings these days, and they're looking for an experience that you've really had. So that you have a personal connection to it, so it'll be real.
Well, basically, I want to do something where there's a dad and he's an inventor, and it's like, well, what did your dad do? And it's like, well, my dad got hit by a bus. And it's like, well, then that's the show, is a dad who gets hit by a bus. Mm-hmm. And that's how you write it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your dad's not an inventor, go fucking screw with that story. You can't write it. It's not for you.
So in some ways, the easiest way to become a writer is to just go out and live your fucking life.
It's just to live.
You know?
It's one of the reasons that Hayes and I go on so many adventures, and we really create environments for ourselves where we can have these experiences that are very relatable, that are very exciting.
Yes.
People love adventure movies.
Talk about some of the adventures we've had that have led to...
Okay, well, Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips is sort of on the surface, you know, the story about a guy who gets captured by pirates. It seems very fantastical, like it can never really happen.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that's really going on to people that you could relate to. But here we are, two of your best friends.
Sure.
And what Hayes and I did was we hopped on a boat. I don't remember if it was his boat or my boat or which boat it was, but we went out on the water.
It was my boat.
Or maybe it was mine. We partied our fucking dicks off for 6-7 days. And then when we were kind of bored of that scene, we sort of butted up next to a pirate ship and played possum a little bit. Like we weren't as strong as we are.
Yeah.
And we let him grab us. We said, let's see what happens. Now, we did wind up having to bend the story a little bit. We immediately kicked those pirates' whole butts. And made them wish they were never born.
Yeah. But where's the...
But that...
What's the second act?
Yes. You know? We needed to stretch that out a little bit.
Yeah.
But we had the bulk of the experience that's in that film. And then we just interviewed a weak guy about... I think it was Engineer Cody, about how he would just sort of lay down and cry and piss himself if something like scary like that happened to him. And we were like, well, we'll put that in the middle. Do you have another adventure that we've been on that has made a good movie?
Yeah, well, there was that time we went to that Knicks game. It was halftime.
Yep. Okay.
And they said, we need a new coach. The coach is sick. And so they said, you guys, you look like you know your basketball stuff.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
You guys come on and coach the team. And that became Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And same sort of narrative of going in, returning Private Ryan.
The basketball.
The basketball back to...
His family.
His family, which is...
The hoop.
Yes.
And so you see how something that really happened to us became a story and a movie that people really loved.
Yeah.
And it's just an easy tip. You just sit down and you go, has anything happened to me? And if not...
Get up,
put down your phone, detach from the screen you're staring at.
Unplug,
go live your life.
Oh, I want to go see a movie about somebody playing Angry Birds.
That sounds good.
Oh, I want to play I want to pay $50 or whatever movies cost now. Something insane.
Let me shell out $260 so I can go watch somebody play Snake.
That sounds like a great movie. Nobody says that.
No one's ever said it. I said it just now in jest, but I was making fun of how people won't say it. And that I could write a movie about, somebody making a comment that no one would ever make. That's liar, liar. And I wrote that, and that happened to me.
We're going to be right back with our guest, Adam Pally. It's going to be a really great conversation with him. You've got to stay tuned.
Close friend of ours. Really good friend.
Very good friend, yes.
He likes what we're doing, and we feel the same way.
We're going to be right back on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
I watched Girls last night.
I've heard about that, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But I feel a butt coming.
Well, do it with men, you know? Guys, make that show, make that same show, but just have it be all men and have like a man.
That I would have watched.
Who's like in charge and stuff.
Yeah.
And
do it with me. What up, what up?
What up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook. What's good? We're here with our guest, Adam Pally.
Hello.
Is here. You know him from The Happy Enders, from Mindy Project.
He's on the Mindy Project now.
Happy Endings. It's not called Happy Enders. It's called Happy Endings. That's okay. It's totally okay. Let's just go.
Do we start over?
No. It's fine.
This has never happened to us before.
I don't have many credits, so...
Okay.
We've known Adam a long time.
Yeah, I'll say.
Going back to... we first met at that that audition for Freaks and Geeks back when it was... When they were developing it, it was going to be Cool Guys and Babes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we all read in that one... When that one scene, the group kiss with Cindy Margolis.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was her, Donna DeErico,
mm-hmm. Cindy Crawford.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Crawford.
And Kathy Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was those girls and the three of us,
yeah.
And we were arguing over who could do the hardest kiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when we were in that, feeling the side of your lips,
mm-hmm.
Adam.
Yeah.
Just thinking, like, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
You know, he's really funny.
We talked about it afterwards because we were friends at the time, and I said, this guy's got something.
Yeah.
And I actually think that show would have worked. And I said that to them when they changed it to Freaks and Geeks, and I think we were proven right because that show fucking failed.
Failure.
Yeah.
Not even a cult would follow it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got no following.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we've just been rooting for you ever since, man. And we're so glad to have you.
Oh, thank you.
So pumped.
What's going on? You were on the Mimi Project set today?
Did you say the Mimi Project?
We said the MIMBY project. This conversation we have had before.
This has happened, yeah.
With Jake Johnson when he was in here.
Really?
I'd love to settle it once and for all.
Yeah, there's some confusion about...
You're having me and Jake Johnson on the same podcast within the same month?
Well, one episode apart. We split you up by one episode.
Good. And that's about how the amount people can tell us apart. Is one
that's,
like
that's
one
the minimum
week.
Number
yeah,
of episodes.
I'm like 1 week younger than
separation.
Jake Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, and you both have fuzzy beards.
We're both like one notch handsomer than David Krumholtz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And not as big of a nightmare car wreck.
Yeah, to deal with
in life. Yeah,
just a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never met him, but
so they're casting something. They'll say like, let's get Krumholtz, and then they'll be like, I don't know if we want to.
It usually goes like this. They go like, the character breakdown comes in, and it's like a handsome, schlubby Jewish guy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So first they're like, well, give it to Rogan.
Sure.
Right? And then Rogan immediately is like, no, I'm not doing this garbage.
Yeah.
And then that goes down the list to Josh Gad. And then after Gad, they call Jake, and... What usually happens is like Jake will read it and say I like it or I don't. But if he doesn't, then they'll come to me. And then if I like it or I don't, either the project dies because I'm the last rung on the ladder.
Last rung on the ladder, yeah.
Or they'll give it to that sewer rat Krumholtz, and you know it'll be like a $75,000 art house film that no one will see.
So Krumholtz can't even find the ladder.
No.
You're the bottom rung, and then he's just feeling around in the dark going, I hope there's a ladder around here somewhere.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he lands on it.
He lands on it, yeah. And
so you turned down Numbers, huh?
I turned down Numbers like four times. They tried to get me like four times, and not even for the Krumholtz role. For
yeah.
the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, looking back on it, I still think I dodged a bullet. That show's a piece of shit. I mean, what kind of show runs for 10 years and is never in syndication?
That's true. Nobody wanted to see it ever again.
No, it was like I think
for a while it was
numbers.
The only thing they wanted to see.
Tell us about the show you're on now. What was it like on the?
It's just like, what's a day in the life on that show?
It's great. I mean, I get to work. My call time is usually around 7:30. I'll show up around 9, mm-hmm. just because I like to. I think it shows power and dominance.
Demonstrates dominance. Yeah. Scoop Troop, get out your pens. Yeah. He's giving you the scoop.
Hey, if you want to know how to work in Hollywood, these are all good lessons. Mm-hmm. So I show up around 9:30, usually with a smoothie to show that I've stopped somewhere before I got to the set.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell me to go hair and makeup. I'll ignore it. I'll walk right into a blocking rehearsal, and if they're not there to block, I will immediately throw a fit. And again, that's to show dominance, but also to make sure that everyone knows that the talent has arrived.
Right.
We'll go through blocking rehearsal. I'll half pay attention. Then I'll go into hair and makeup and demand that they come to my trailer.
Now, I've heard that you will, if you weren't happy with, say, the first half of a take, you will cut a big chunk of your hair off.
That's true.
So that they have to shoot it again from the beginning.
That's true. Mm-hmm. This is a true story. When I was doing Iron Man 3, which I have a small but very memorable cameo in, made over $1 billion. When I was doing that scene, I was doing a take with Robert Downey Jr. and he flubbed his line, mm-hmm. but it was on my coverage. So I had my little nose hair trimmer that I always keep in my pocket because my nose hair grows if I don't do it every 4 hours. And I just took off both eyebrows. And it was in my coverage. So they were looking at me like, what happened? Shane Black yells cut. He directed all the Lethal Weapons. And he comes up and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, how dare he? This is mine. This take is mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for very long. I want to make it special.
Yeah, he's got the whole movie to flub his lines. Not today.
Not today, mm-hmm. Downey. Long story short, they shut down production for 10 days to wait for my eyebrows to grow back. I come in, I nail the scene, and that's all everyone's talking about when the movie comes out. So
that's the only scene I know of from the movie.
Yeah. Put your pens away.
Did Iron Man win? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I know Gary the camera guy did. That scene.
It's a funny name, Gary. They should use that name more for comedy guys.
Yes.
No, you know, not just for like the serious leads in movies and stuff, for the like the funny people.
Yeah. Every male character in any script I've written is named Gary, which can be confusing, but fuck you if you don't get it, you know?
And fuck you, that's a good lesson to have that attitude towards anyone who's mm-hmm. reading your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about happy endings a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting that right now?
Yeah, you're getting it right. I'm getting the feeling since you rattled that off with ease that you could have gotten it right before.
Well, I have a big question, just differences between new job and the old one.
Yeah.
Was Crafty better on Happy Endings than on the Mindy Project, or?
You know it's called the Mindy Project, and that's a good question, and Crafty is way better on the Mindy Project,
mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why.
Oh.
The network that it's on, Fox, likes the show,
mm-hmm.
and thus they promote it and do good things for its cast and writers.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Endings, which was on ABC, that network hated that show, mm-hmm. did not like it, because the president at the time did not develop it. So he had no skin in the game on it. So if it was a success, no one would say, hey, it's that sure. guy's show. So they took away our Crafty.
And they give you poison.
A lot of times, yeah. I mean, Alicia Cuthbert had to get her stomach pumped a couple times mm-hmm. because she went over to make an espresso and it was literally poison. So,
okay, so two different Crafties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the Mindy one's a little better.
Yeah.
I did have a question about Happy Endings. It ran for 3 seasons, is that right?
That's correct. So, you know how long it ran, and you have no problem saying the name yet. When you first introduced me, you flubbed it.
Well, I've been doing computer stuff.
Oh, so you've not been paying attention. Yeah. Great.
And it's a show, it has its fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 7.1 here on the computer. People obviously like it.
A 7.1 in the Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, so what's...
This is IMDb.
An IMDb rates is a 7.1.
7.1, which is actually very good.
I'll take it.
So some people must like it. My question is, what is it like that the show is mostly remembered as the show that allowed Lamorne Morris mm-hmm. to be on New Girl and kind of make that show big.
I don't know if it. I don't know if that's what it's remembered for, to tell you the truth.
Well, okay. People say, like, they watch New Girl, they say, okay, this is like Lamorne Morris's show. How did this happen?
Right. I don't think anyone watches New Girl and says, this is Lamorne Morris's show.
Well, you're looking at two guys right now.
If that's the case, I would say both of you are retarded. Because there is no way.
Is there a history with
99.9% of people who see that show know him as the black guy on that show.
Okay, well,
and that's
I would,
the truth.
Okay,
so this
well,
must be something.
Say,
there must be a story behind this.
The answer to your question then, Hayes, is it doesn't feel good, and there's a little bit of bitterness. And what I know must
have
happened is...
You're putting words in my mouth.
What I know must have happened is there was a meeting in some back room somewhere on Happy Endings where you guys went, do we try to trade for Lamorne?
I can assure you that that never happened.
And I know you're in that room.
Did you know you couldn't get him?
Listen to me for 1 second. Scott is your name?
No.
Steve?
No.
It doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it
doesn't. It doesn't feel good.
Oh, so you do know his name. You knew you were getting his name wrong.
Did I get it right on Steve?
No, but
then
you
I
said
have
that
no
doesn't
clue.
Feel good.
When you, but, what, can I tell you
so
something?
So that must feel okay.
When I walked in here and both of you guys introduced yourselves to me, you know what I heard? Aryan. Blah, blah, blah. Blonde guys.
Yeah.
And to a Jew, that means there's a chance you could both turn on me and walk me to a shower, which is my ultimate death. So that's all I heard when you guys started talking. What did you ask me? If I would rather have Lamorne? No. Lamorne is a replacement of Damon, who we had in the first place. I would not want to have him.
Damon... This is Damon Wayans' son. He's
Damon Wayans Jr.
Is he not Damon Wayans'
he
son?
He is Damon
Lil,
Wayans'
Lil
son.
Lil Damon.
It's not Little Damon. No, it's Damon Wayans Jr.
Okay. He's a talented guy.
Yeah.
He's
super
very
talented.
Good.
Very talented.
Really funny.
His,
and you guys
his
had a great
show
chemistry.
Yes. Yeah,
his,
he's one of my best friends.
And I didn't want to, you know, his show is no longer on the air.
We were on the same show.
Okay. But Lamorne, once he got on New Girl, now that show is a really big show.
Yeah. It wouldn't, sure. It wouldn't have been on TV without Damon. Damon was in the pilot. And actually, Damon, now that Happy Endings is off the air, Damon is going to be back on New Girl starting like next week. So they got him back right away. I don't know if they're phasing Lamorne out. You know, I don't know why there can't be two black guys on network
or
television.
Probably Lamorne, or probably Lamorne wanted to go toe-to-toe with him.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. I don't know why there would be a toe-to-toe competition.
I got a feeling. I'll text him about it,
kinda
but probably
racist.
They wanted to go toe-to-toe.
I don't think so. It's a race. That is a racist idea that you just had.
It's Jordan and Kobe always said that, like, they wish they could go head-to-head to prove who was the best. I think it's exactly like that situation.
I think it's completely different. Jordan was retired when Kobe was in his prime. They
right, that's why I'm saying they wish they could.
Yeah, well, Damon retired from the New Girl pilot, and then...
You're going to try to squeeze this in to make it right. It's not going to work.
Yeah, Damon retired from the New Girl pilot, and then I think Lamorne, straight out of high school, got put in that show.
Yeah.
Lamorne is like 50. Okay, he's not straight out of high school.
Well, the show's been on for quite a while.
New Girl? It feels like it.
Yeah, that's what Jake told us.
I'm glad that Jake was able to boast about how many episodes his show has run for. That seems really down to earth. Salt of the earth, that guy.
Let's reach into the popcorn gallery.
Yes, let's reach into the popcorn.
This is where we ask questions from fans.
I know.
It's like the peanut gallery.
Yeah, I got it.
But it's like popcorn. They serve popcorn at movies, so this is the popcorn
gallery. It together.
We have a question from Toby Keith Sweat, and this was actually a question.
Toby Keith Sweat?
Yes.
This is one of our regular commenters.
Toby Keith's a country singer.
I understand the person's mashup name.
Well, this is his name, but it just is easy to remember if you think about the two.
I get it.
This is a question that we've actually had for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you look at the TV landscape right now, and there's dramas, romances, actions.
This is the longest I've ever waited for a question to be asked. I just felt it needs a fucking setup.
Dramas, romances, actions, thrillers. My question is...
Oh, you haven't even asked the question yet?
Then this is Toby Keith Sweat's question also. And our question is, why is there no sports on TV?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Now, I've heard this complaint before. I don't own a TV.
You don't own a TV and you're doing a show about television?
You're doing...
Well, it's not about television. It's about Hollywood success, but I think it's pretty interesting to not own a TV.
There are plenty of people who can do a show about watching TV.
Mm.
But what about doing TV?
Mastering TV.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but how come there's no sports?
I there's a lot of sports on television. Every channel, every network is anchored by sports.
Well, that's
the reason. I'll explain this to you.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that you guys don't think there's sports on television is because, admittedly, you don't own TV.
I know. I do own a TV. I have a great TV, very nice big TV. My thing is, I'm home to sleep.
Okay, so you're not watching.
He's home to sleep. I'm home to sleep. If that.
What does that mean? If that.
If that.
Please, if that.
What do you I'm on set. I'm on the lot. I'm on location. And I'm home to sleep.
He's on just about everything except the couch watching his big, nice TV, which I've actually seen.
But if there was sports,
well, then I might buy one.
Then I might have some more time to watch my big TV.
Let me tell you, this is just a tip. You don't have to work in Hollywood to know this, but turn on your television whenever.
Mm-hmm.
When the fuck ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find sports on some channel. And you, fucking buy one if you want to watch sports. If you want to watch sports, they are there for you on television.
Well, I'm on the fence.
I think you might
be thinking
of...
sounds like a time suck.
I think you might be thinking of TVs at sports games.
I'm not... I'll tell you this right
now. We've been to those front row.
Those have sports?
No.
We've been to those front row.
And then, like, the box.
I know for a fact.
And, like, the CAA box, there's a TV.
I'm not the one getting the message mixed here.
The WME box as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sports TV.
There's a TV that has sports all the time.
So... All right.
Okay. And the Gersh Nook.
The Gersh Nook. You got to be so pathetic to be repped at Gersh.
That reminds me of a question.
Who's repped
Adam?
At Gersh?
Here's a question I
wouldn't
had.
Even be friends with someone that was repped at Gersh.
I made that up. Is that an agency?
it sounds like a fart, doesn't it?
I was thinking of Grolsch beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's a question that I think a lot of people will want to know. What did you get your commercial agent for Christmas last year?
You guys are so pleased with yourselves on these fucking questions. It's pathetic. The fact that you guys are doing this fucking podcast and are so fucking up your own asses about it is ridiculous. What is the question? What did I get my commercial agent for
Christmas last year?
I wouldn't buy an agent a gift if he fucking saved my life. If he pulled me from under a bus, I wouldn't buy an agent a gift. Because he's already getting 10% of my fucking money.
Let's go back in the popcorn gallery.
Yes,
make this sound. Thanks.
Oh, yummy.
Oh, my God.
Anthony Scontrino, one of our listeners, asks, he hears you're a big prankster on the set. What kinds of twisted pranks have you pulled on set?
I don't know where Anthony Scontrino would have heard that, but I've never...
Anthony Scontrino.
I don't give a fuck if I messed up the Twitter handle. Do you even have listeners? Has this even been broadcast yet?
This is, we're recording it now to be broadcast later. But we asked some people for questions ahead of time.
I've never pulled a prank on a set before, ever, even once. I would never do shit like that. When I hear shit like that, when I hear, like, about Clooney pulling, like, putting, like, fucking cat litter boxes and taking shits in them and people's shit. I think it's disgusting. Like, that's a place, it's where you work.
Well, you don't have to use shit for it to be a prank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to use shit for it to be a prank.
Well, I agree with you. That's disgusting. And it's not the position of this podcast to judge how other people live, but if you're using shit and that's the only way you know how to prank, then that's not funny to me.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I would not pull a prank.
Now, hang on, Adam, because you made a great point.
I didn't make a point.
If the only way you prank is by using shit, then me and Adam don't stand for that.
This is your point. Are there any more questions from the fucking popcorn gallery?
There is one, yeah.
There is one more.
I just want you both to know that I missed putting my children to bed tonight for this.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have kids?
Yeah, I have two kids.
You play younger.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is a question from Andy Neese, one of our listeners. With the advent of DVR and internet streaming, are you worried that people now have the ability to pause your show on the TV and you'll be stuck making a goofy face?
No. I mean, first of all, the technology to pause television has been around, I'm pretty sure, a good 7 years at this point.
I don't own one.
That's been stated. And I am not afraid of it.
In fact, you used to worry about it, but now 7 years later, you don't worry about it anymore.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Why did you talk about how it's been around for so long?
Because face your fears, question, I think he's saying.
Because
of what?
Face your fears. You know, 7 years ago, he said, I'm so scared of this.
I never said that at all.
Well, you opened the discussion about the length of time it's been
probably for the past, you know, for six of those years, he was pausing it on goofy faces and just looking at it and saying, is this what people are doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just got comfortable with it.
You both write in television, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck are you doing here? Why are you doing this? What is this? What hole is this filling?
Hmm?
How many people are going to listen to this? 10? 20 people? Even if it's 500? Even if it's 1,200? What are you getting from this? What is this
even
doing?
If it's 1,200, really? You think that's bad?
I think it's inconsequential to what you guys are doing. Who cares?
Do something for other people, the people that are trying to get into the business.
You're doing this podcast for the people that are trying to get into this business?
It's not for money. Got plenty of that.
Do you?
So what else could it be?
Because otherwise I'd be like, what is happening here? Why are we... I'm yet to know why I'm here. What am I doing here?
Well, you could plug a project.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to...
Oh, any plugs?
Lots of people, yes, want to get their stuff to a wider audience. And
I do have a couple things to plug. Thank you. I'm going to be performing with my band at the... What is...
I sneezed.
Sorry, I'm sensitive. A lot of actors, when they say they have bands, mm-hmm. it gets a bad rap. But the truth is, if you ever listen to Dogstar...
Mm-hmm. Love Dogstar.
If you ever listen to 30 Odd Foot Grunts.
Love 3 Seconds from Mars.
You ever 30 Seconds. If you ever listen to 30 Seconds from Mars, they're really, really good. And I think that the fact that it's an actor doing it makes it even better.
Bacon Brothers is like the sound of my soul.
The best. The mm-hmm. best. The Jeff Bridges acoustic album is... I mean, that puts me asleep every night. Anyway, my band is playing at the Roxy on Friday and Saturday night, and then we're going down to the Ice House in Pasadena on Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll be in Santa Clarita at the Melbourne mm-hmm. on Thursday and Friday, and then the following Saturday we'll be down at Ducky's in Montclair, California, and then we'll be doing a 5-day stint up in Irvine at Felipe's Risotto's. And then we're going to be coming down the coast to San Diego, where we're going to be doing the Lighthouse Light Brunch Festival. And then hopefully by the end of the month, we'll be kicking it back up to Palm Desert, where we're going to be headlining our own chimichurros.
And for people who haven't heard some of your stuff, what's your sound?
It's kind of, it's hard to describe. It's kind of Mumford & Sons meets a White Noise machine. I don't know if that is getting the message across.
Yeah, it's if Mumford & Sons sang all their songs through sort of a bunch of cotton.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
It's almost the mic in cotton.
It's like if you know the sounds that they used to put babies to sleep?
Yeah, White Noise machine, yeah.
Mix that with the Lumineers.
Okay.
Ooh.
And what's
we have a vacuum player, a guy that plays vacuum, and he also plays the drums with his hands. I guess all drummers do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the name of that band, if people don't know?
The Adam Pally Project.
Okay. Hey, it's been so great
Has it?
Been really good. Been really fun just, having you here.
Really?
Yeah.
It hasn't and felt listen, that way, guys.
We're always pulling for you. Everything you do.
Good. And like, thank you. People love hearing all that.
And for you to make that, you know, that last breakthrough. You know what I mean?
What the fuck does that mean?
Just to get to that big.
What?
That big place.
What's the big place? What the fuck?
You know, just to like really.
What?
Career wise? Just like.
Career wise?
Just when you really.
Okay.
So do it.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I haven't done it yet to you.
But. God, like when you do, you know who's going to be right there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys write for? Night of Too Many Stars? What's like your gig?
Yeah, we won an Emmy for Night of Too Many Stars.
You did?
Yeah.
We are one of like 50 white dudes, right? That won an Emmy for that?
Is Jewish white? Did you call Jewish white?
No.
We're one of
but neither of
50
you
white, and,
I would not
white call- and Jewish dudes.
Danny, your eyes just popped out of your head when I said I would not call Jewish white. I would not call Jewish white.
So that's what we're
really?
Saying.
They're I would
saying,
not.
They're saying there are white guys and Jewish guys.
There. Oh, so it's both.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't know.
Smigel's been... a legend.
Yeah, Smigel. You're saying Robert Smigel
I
is
I am not,
not
saying that Robert Smigel is not a legend. I,
that's his
so
project.
Then you're saying
and
that
you're saying,
autism's
you're saying
not
it's
a good
for a
cause.
Bad cause?
I'm just saying that it's like a hacky thing. To call yourself a TV writer and that's like your credit.
Well,
it's on IMDb.
So what I could IMDb's like Wikipedia. I could put a JPEG up of like a fucking rotating fan and
not
like
for
I was
too
in that.
Not for too long. They yeah. do actually check it and take it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you've posted some fake credits before.
I've had some trouble getting some stuff on there that I think I was owed. And that fight's not over either. I'm not giving in.
Yeah, what did you what do you feel like you're missing out on, Brian?
Just some stuff that I think was really more my idea. Chappelle Show.
You believe that Chappelle's Show, named after Dave Chappelle, created by Dave Chappelle and Neil Brennan, was your idea?
Primarily, yeah.
Okay.
I had been working on a sketch show around the same time.
Okay, I think I'm done here. This is...
Hey,
well, thank
guys.
Thank you so much for coming
thanks
by.
Thanks so much for listening. Rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, give them a good rating.
Buy the pro version. What do we have in the pro version this week?
Ooh, this week. You can get the key card for Hayes' pool.
Do
his
I have
community
to sit here
pool.
While this bullshit goes on?
Yeah, you can get the key card for my pool. God. You get a free visit to the Earwolf Studios. After work hours, just to hang out with whoever, you know, whoever's there.
See engineer Brett or whatever.
Maybe Kulop will be here, you know? Maybe
the Sklar brothers.
Liz Lane will be here. She records somewhere else.
You never know, and that's the point. So, please subscribe to the Pro Version, rate us on iTunes.
Can you look at your phone when we do this?
Can you fucking leave me the fuck alone while I'm doing you a goddamn favor? Finish, wrap up your stupid shit.
We're getting right towards the end. Get on the forums, talk on the forums. Did you like the way Adam treated us? Did you not? It's up in the air. Maybe start a poll. And
follow Adam Twitter.
Follow Adam Twitter. Real pros. Bunch of pros.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.